Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
The subject today is the year of the prolific church. Last Sunday, I told you that the theme of today will be that today I will talk about the prolific church. The word prolific means fruitful, productive, successful, or producing many offspring. The new year has already been prepared by God. Amen. It's important for us to understand God's plan for the church this year. What is the church? The church is not a building. I told you many times before that the church is a gathering of believers. We call the building the church because Christians gather there. But when we speak of the church, we speak of the body of Christ. Every born-again believer is a part of the body, part of this body. Every part has its own responsibility in the body. There is a worldwide church, but there is also the local church. As we are in or around our city, we are responsible for the local body of the church, and in this case is CMI. God has a plan for this year for CMI. Do you know the plan? Do you know what place and responsibility you have in that plan? Jesus was telling a parable when he was eating at the Pharisee's house. In Luke chapter 14, verse 15, it says, "When one of those at the table with him heard this, he said to Jesus, 'Blessed is the man who will eat at the feast of the kingdom of God.'" So Jesus was teaching the people, which were consisted of Pharisees at the table, and one said to him, "How blessed is a man who eats at the feast in the kingdom of God." But Jesus didn't reply, "You are right." He told a parable. We read from verse 16 on. Jesus replied, "A certain man was preparing a great banquet and invited many guests. At the time of the banquet, he sent his servant to tell those who had been invited, 'Come, for everything is now ready.' But they all alike began to make excuses. The first said, 'I have just bought a field, and I must go and see it. Please excuse me.' Another said, 'I have just bought 5 yoke of oxen, and I'm on my way to try them. Please excuse me.' Still another said, 'I just got married, so I can't come.' The servant came back and reported this to the master. Then the owner of the house became angry and ordered his servant, 'Go out quickly into the streets and alleys of the town and bring in the poor, the crippled, the blind, and the lame.' 'Sir,' the servant said, 'what you ordered has been done, but there is still room.' Then the master told his servant, 'Go out to the roads and country lanes and make them come, so that my house will be full. I tell you, not one of those men who were invited will get a taste of my banquet.'" Amen. What answer to the exclamation of one of them had made? Jesus said, I brought you the kingdom and you have been invited. Unfortunately, most of the Pharisees rejected that offer. Jesus made clear that we have to prioritize on the kingdom, not on an organization. We should function as a kingdom. We need spiritual understanding of what the Lord was saying. God wants a church to live as a kingdom. For a long time, the church didn't understand this principle. It was proud to be an organization, proud to be a charity. It always upset me when somebody spoke of the church as a charity, because they say you're doing such a great job. But it's not about charity, it's about eternal salvation. His plan was to raise a kingdom of priests. In Hebrews 7:23 and 24, it says, now there have been many of those priests since death prevented them from continuing in office. But because Jesus lives forever, he has a permanent priesthood. Paul was telling the Ephesians, the Hebrews, about the priest Melchizedek. Like that priest who has no beginning and no end, so Jesus has no beginning and no end. We read in Hebrews chapter 7, verses 16 to 20. One who has become a priest, not on the basis of regulation as to his ancestry, but on the basis of the power of an indestructible life. For it is declared, you are a priest forever, in the order of Melchizedek. The former regulation is set aside because it was made weak and useless. For the law made nothing perfect, and better hope is introduced by which we draw near to God. And it was not without an oath. Others became priests without any oath. Jesus has been made a high priest forever in the order of Melchizedek. We have to understand, according to the book of Exodus, only descendants of Aaron were accepted as priests. Nobody else could function as a priest. But Jesus did away with the old order and made something new. Jesus was not a descendant of Aaron of the tribe of Levi. He was a descendant of David of the tribe of Judah. And only one who is greater can change that order. And Jesus is God. He was able to change it. Who is this Melchizedek? We read in Hebrews 7, chapter 1 to 3. This Melchizedek was king of Salem and priest of God Most High. He met Abraham returning from the defeat of the kings and blessed him. And Abraham gave him a tenth of everything. First, his name means King of Righteousness, then also King of Salem, means King of Peace. Without father or mother, without genealogy, without beginning of days or end of life, like the Son of God, he remains a priest forever. Salem didn't refer to a town called Salem. It means righteousness and peace. So Melchizedek was king of righteousness and king of peace. And Abraham recognized him as that and gave him a tithe. Of Jesus, it is said, "You are priests forever after the order of Melchizedek." That means Jesus is King of righteousness and he is King of peace. Now in Revelation chapter 1, verse 5 and 6, it says, "To him who loves us and has freed us from our sins by his blood and has made us to be a kingdom and priests to serve his God and Father, to him be glory and power forever and ever." Jesus said to John, "I have made you into a kingdom and priest." He's not going to do something in the future. He has already done it. Already we are a kingdom and we are priests. If you are born again, you are a kingdom and you are a priest. Like Melchizedek and Jesus, we are kings of righteousness and kings of peace. We are priests of God Most High. Peter wrote in his first letter, chapter 2, verse 9, "But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God, that you may declare the praise of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light." The question is, why are you a Christian? What is our point of believing in God? Because we have been called by God. Because we are a people belonging to God. And we are to declare praise of him who called you. This is the reason that we are Christians. We are a royal priesthood. We are king priests. Melchizedek, he was a king priest. And Jesus has made us a kingdom of priests. So in Christ, we are royalty. Jesus said, when you go anywhere to preach the gospel, in Luke chapter 10, verse 5 and 6, when you enter a house, first say, "Peace to this house." If a man of peace is there, your peace will rest on him. If not, he will return to you. Now we are joint heirs with Christ. If they reject you, they reject him. And we are not priests in the order of Aaron, but in the order of Melchizedek. He sends us, and we are his ambassadors, and we proclaim peace. Wherever the risen Lord appeared to his disciples, he said, "Peace be unto you." In the same way, we proclaim peace. Peace will come when you proclaim it. This coming year is a year of decision for the world. We are fast approaching the rapture. Whoever is not ready will be left behind. Like never before, God is saying, Deuteronomy 30, verse 19, "I have set before you life and death, the blessing and the curse. Therefore, choose life, that thou mayest live, thou and thy seed." It's a time of decision for the world, and many will not live until the end of this year. It's important to be ready for the day. It is a final call. There are many who have been called again and again, and they were not responding. The day will come where there won't be any more call. It's too late. It's serious to think where they will go without Christ. It should stir us to the necessity to take the message to the ends of the world. It should be so because this is the year of a prolific church. The prolificacy of the church shall be as never before. The church shall proliferate to the ends of the earth. Jesus gave a parable of the kingdom. As a woman who has put a little yeast into the bread dough, and it spread all over. He gave a second explanation. Like a mustard seed, though it is the smallest, when it grows to become a tree. This is how the kingdom works. You are going to be prolific everywhere in an outstanding way. We are getting there, and the spirit of multiplication will work. This is God's plan for our church this year. We will spread. We will see many new people coming to the church. People giving their lives to Christ and coming to the church. But there are three things that we have to do. The first one is to prioritize the Spirit. In the early church, the Holy Spirit was important. Everybody depended on the leading by the Holy Spirit. In Acts 19:2, we found Paul going to the disciples in Ephesus, and he asked them, "Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you first believed?" But they responded, "We haven't even heard that there is a Holy Spirit." So when Paul laid his hands on them, they received the Spirit and they were filled. Prioritize the ministry of the Holy Spirit like you never did before. The Holy Spirit has created you. The Holy Spirit has made you. He is your maker. He is a performer of the Godhead. He actually fashioned you. And his delight was to be sons of men. So always he wants to live in you, and the Father's dream was fulfilled in the believers. Do you know that you are so important to the Holy Spirit? Many have received the Holy Spirit, but they ignore him. They act like he is a mere experience, but he is more than an experience. Make the decision to make him more than just an experience. The Holy Spirit is a person, and every Christian must recognize him and fellowship with him. He wants to talk to you all the time. He wants to teach you, and he wants to show you the way of the kingdom. He is the wisdom of God. In Proverbs chapter 8, verse 20 and 21, it says, "I, wisdom, I walk in the day of righteousness, along the path of justice, bestowing wealth on those who love me and make their treasuries full." This is what he wants to do for you in year 2023. He's the voice of God who talks to you, who gives you guidance, who gives you instruction, that tells you where to go, what to do, and what to say, and what to write. The world is in self-made poverty, but you will never be a victim if you listen to the Holy Spirit. Think that He will do for you if you listen to Him. If you listen to Him. You have to be born again. If you're not born again, you have to be born again and receive the Holy Spirit into your heart so that He can live within you. Point two, prioritize the Word of God. Colossians chapter 3, verse 16 says, let the Word of God dwell in you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom, and as you sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs with gratitude in your hearts to God. Let the Word of God dwell in you richly, not in small amounts. Not only Sunday school stories, but let it be in you richly. You have to study it, you have to meditate on the Word, and you have to give attention to it. Meditate on the Word like never before. If you want to see God do something that He has never done before in your life, then you have to do something that you never did before. For every action, consult the Holy Spirit. Consult the Word of God. Whatever you do, ask the Word of God. Do what you read. Follow the instruction. Put the Word of God and prayer as the first priority in the morning and first priority in the evening. Point three, prioritize the name of Jesus. Learn to use the name of the Lord Jesus. We have learned from small on to call on Jesus when something happens in our life. If you live your life like that, progress will be slow. Changes will be slow. If you want to see your life grow quickly and big, you have to do what the Word says. It says in Colossians chapter 3, verse 17, and whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. Whatever you do, not some things or once at a while, whatever you do, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus. That consists eating, that consists shopping, sleeping, working, whatever you do, do it in the name of the Lord Jesus. And you will be amazed how changes will take place. You will be amazed at the results. You see, many people, they just call Him Jesus. Look, Jesus, help me. Jesus, protect me. But they don't know Him. Talking about Him is different from talking to Him. When you talk to Him, you call Him Lord Jesus. After His resurrection, nobody ever called Jesus just Jesus. They called Him Lord Jesus. You can read the whole Bible, you will find they only talk about the Lord Jesus. After this resurrection body, nobody called Him just Jesus. So we have to respond correctly. Address him correctly, and you will be amazed at the results. Jesus has created you. The Holy Spirit has made you. And there is a difference. When you study the creation story in Genesis, you see a difference between the created man and that which was formed. The outward man was framed and formed into the shape by the Holy Spirit. But your spirit was created by the Word, and that is Jesus. When you talk to him, when you sing to him, when you address him as Lord, and when you pray to the Father, God Almighty, and you call him Lord. The German Bible calls him Lord, Lord, or Mr. Lord, Lord, Lord. Whatever you do, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I start this message with the explanation of what the church is. Then I prioritize on the kingdom of God. We learned that we are not our own, but we were bought at a price. We are not Christians for our own likes, but for him. Jesus said, "You cannot love God and the world. You cannot serve two masters, God and money." We are his, and we have to prioritize on the four things in this year. We will see changes. So we prioritize on the kingdom. We prioritize on the Spirit. We prioritize on the Word. And we prioritize on the name. We'll see how our church will grow and spread, and we will see how people will give their lives to Christ. Amen.